Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Triple M Rocks the Footy. And this is the Burning Question.
A special edition Burning Question podcast, MG. We are going to rattle through a burning question for every one of the 16 NRL teams. You are going to have an 80-second timer in which to give your answer to each of the questions.
80 seconds? I mightn't need 80 seconds for some of them. It might be a one-word answer.
You might drop the mic in advance. We'll try and fill.
Of course I will.
All right.
That's all about content, brother.
Exactly. You know it. Okay. Let's just kick this off.
Yep.
Starting with Parramatta Eels.
Okay.
What is the weakness that will hold back Para from winning the comp this season?
Oh, look, I think overconfidence. They've signed Madison and Campbell Gillard, which obviously strengthens them greatly. They still have to roll up their sleeves and get the job done. So I think overconfidence with the Eels. They seem to overachieve when they're not supposed to, and they seem to underachieve when they're supposed to. So I don't know. I think that Parramatta's only chance of going backwards this year is if they get ahead of themselves, and I don't think that'll happen. I think, you know, Brad Arthur's in a position now where he's got this side well and truly primed, and the inclusion of these two forwards that I speak of, Madison and Campbell Gillard, who both have to prove a point. They both left their clubs, their former clubs, under a bit of controversy. So I think the West Tigers and Panthers' loss is Parramatta's gain.
Very good, MG, with 30 seconds to spare as well, which means you did it in 50 seconds.
That clock really pisses me off, by the way.
I'll have it a bit lower for the rest of them, all right?
I feel like I'm in 60 minutes.
You're not. You're on the 80 seconds.
Okay.
Okay, next up, let's go to Canterbury.
Yo.
The Bulldogs scored the least amount of points last season. Mm. Where will their points come from this year?
Good question. I like the fact that Remus Smith put his hand up and said, "Coach, I want to play centre this year." I think that's a really good move from Canterbury. I think that the closer this kid gets to the action, I think the better. He's a big body. He's fast. He looks like he can defend well. I'll make an early bold prediction, a Jack Lynx bold prediction, and say that I think Remus Smith might be the leading try scorer in this year's premiership.
Leading try scorer?
There you go.
Wow, that is a bold prediction.
It's very bold.
So you're saying Remus Smith will score all of the Dogs' points in 2020?
Can he goal kick? Well, I think someone from one of these clubs that, you know, most who, you know, do their ladders, like I'm doing my ladder currently on the rush hour, will have the Bulldogs finishing in the bottom four. I've actually picked them higher than that, and I'll reveal all on the rush hour in a few days, but I've got something, I don't know, something in my gut about the Doggies, and it's a good feeling. I think it's the interruption of Kieran Foran. Will he play? Won't he play? Is he going to play in a few weeks? They know he's out for the year, so that's a plus. And the more they get the ball to this Remus Smith, the more likely they are at scoring points.
Now we know what it sounds like when the clock ends. All right, very good, MG. Very good. Let's move along to the Dragons.
Yeah.
Is Mary McGregor the most under pressure coach entering 2020?
Yeah. Yeah. Stop the clock. No, of course he is. You know, I spoke about them when I gave my ladder, and my rationale for putting them 14th in the competition is that this dark cloud over the Dragons won't dissipate. It's there. It's and it seems to be already that Corey Norman and McGregor, I've read today, have had a bit of a meeting over the last 2 years, which were, I think, in Corey Norman's words, shit. And they were. They're the underachievers of the competition with the four pack they've got. And we spoke about the off-field dramas. You know, it takes its toll on field when you've got such a heavy heart off the field with these, you know, things going on. So
is there anyone even close? Like, are there any other coaches, as you cast your mind around the competition, that even come close?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think, you know, O'Brien in the Knights will be given time.
Yeah, Holbrook
will be given time. Mm. Look, I spoke just of Brad Arthur. If Brad Arthur loses 5 or 6 games in a row with the expectation upon them, all of a sudden the pressure goes on him. Every coach is under the pump, but I think mostly, and Miriam McGregor, he has been for the last few years, has been most under the pump.
Yeah, well done. Right, we are just flying through these, MG. Okay, Para, Dogs and Dragons done. It's time to cast our eye to the Northern Beaches, MG. Is Tommy Turbo's health the key to Manly's success this season?
100% it is. Yep, he's their marquee player. I think they're a 12 to 14 point better team when he plays. How they got so far without him in the semi-finals is Herculean, and I put that all down to the belief that the players have in their coach, Desi Hasler. So you can never discount Manly even without Tommy Turbo, but if you want to win the competition, if you're a Manly fan or player, you want Tommy Turbo at the back. And after him and his brother Jake have signed long-term deals, we want a fit and healthy Tom Turbo on the paddock to see how far this Manly team can go.
Where do you think, if after Tommy Turbo, where's the next most important part of that side?
Oh, obviously his brother, who plays that, you know, 5'8" slash second row role, and DCE. You know, he's the general.
You think Dylan Walker has a big role to play if he sticks at that 5'8" spot?
Oh, he's getting better and better by game, and by season's end, arguably their best player.
Mm.
So he started off the season beautifully in the All-Star game, looking very fit, chased down a great ball for a try.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them, but ultimately it comes down to Finua Blake and to Powell up front. If they can find the form that they found last year in getting Manly all the way, a couple of games from the grand final, well, yeah, they can play a big part as well.
Like it. All right, MG, time to drive up the M1 to Newcastle. Is finals the bare minimum for the Newcastle Knights in 2020?
Look, maybe for their fans it is, but I give Adam O'Brien a good 12 months until he finds his feet. I mean, if he loses 8-9 in a row, obviously it's not looking good for him. But I think with a new coach, look, their side on paper is fantastic. I know that O'Brien has got the credentials. We hear a lot about him. We haven't seen him in the cauldron yet, and that's week to week in the NRL, which can test the best of them, the Wayne Bennetts and the Craig Bellamy's, let alone a rookie coach. So he's been given the keys to a very good vehicle. And how he steers that vehicle around and in and out of traffic will play a big part on their fortunes.
So for you, it's not about finals this season for the Knights. It's more about style of play and Adam O'Brien showing the direction he's taking the team.
With this team they've got, I want to see a flamboyance about them. I want to see Ponga involved more. I don't want to see him just coming down that left side, ad nauseum. I want to see a little bit more pizzazz in the Knights game. I want to see some off-the-cuff stuff. I want to see more offloads from their forwards, their star-studded forward pack.
Mm.
I think we will. I think we will. I think O'Brien's got a good footy brain, and I think Knights are one to watch this year.
Okay, so not about finals, more about game style for the Knights for MG
100%.
All right, MG, let's head to the nation's capital. The Raiders fell short in the grand final against the Roosters, so what do they need to do to go one better this year?
Probably one of my favourite teams to watch in 2020. I love the way they introduced the one-on-one strip. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but I happen to like it. I think if you're carrying the ball loosely, well, you don't deserve to have it. You're taught from an early age that the ball is paramount and you hold on to it with your life. So the fact that they were contesting the ball brought a little contest back to the game, which I really enjoyed watching. And look, if BJ Lalua passed that ball to Jordan Rapana with about 12 minutes to go in the grand final, they could have had the ultimate prize. So depending on how much that rattled them, I suppose, in the off-season, how much they dwell on that, knowing Ricky Stewart, not much. I think he'll get over that quickly. They've added some starch to their team. I think in young Williams, the Pommy halfback, I think he's going to be one to watch. Curtis Scott, as we speak, we still don't know what's going on with him. So Curtis Scott would be a great asset to their team. He had some starch. He had some great defensive techniques. And look, they've just got to probably just keep doing what they're doing. They're as I said, they're one of my favourite teams to watch. They've got a great forward pack, mobile forward pack. You know, with all the Pommy imports were such a great thing to watch this year. Papali played out of his skin this year, probably one of the best forwards in the competition. So, and Hodgson at dummy half is world class. Mm. So I'd maintain the rage if I was the Raiders and just try and put a bit of icing on the cake.
So to go one better, they probably just need a bit of luck by the sounds of it.
You're probably right. Mm. You're probably right. Yes.
You need luck to win one, MG.
You certainly do.
And I, just quickly, Jack Whiten re-signing would be a great confidence booster for that playing group that their star wants to stay because he thinks they're a chance.
Of course.
All right, MG, let's talk South Sydney. God, as if we haven't talked about him enough in the pre-season already. Is South's lack of strength in the forwards a concern?
Look, you'd have to be... say somewhat, yeah. You'd have to definitely say somewhat. You know, their back line speaks for itself. And
loaded.
And it's loaded. It actually is loaded. But when you look at their forward pack, they probably are one or two forwards down. Obviously, they lost Sutton and Sam Burgess. So there's their forwards, the two forwards who they've got to replace. And they're almost irreplaceable for 12 months. Jaiara is coming the year after. But look, I think maybe they could be in for a bit of a year of you know, toing and froing. You know, maybe win one, lose one, win two, lose one. But with this back line they've got, that's I can't wait to see it unroll. They've got some young guns who come through last year. Liam Knight, who knocked back a lot of money to stay at the Rabbitohs with Wayne Bennett. They've got a lot of their cattle is strong, but they're not the strongest pack in the competition.
Mm.
So to answer your question, Liam, yeah, it is a bit of a concern. I think if Cam Murray is forced to play on the edge like we're hearing, I don't like that. I like him in the middle where he gets his hand on the ball a lot more. And Damien Cook, who is the perfect foil for Cam Murray with these play the balls, probably two of the quickest play the balls in the comp in the one team. So. A lot of the good stuff that happens at South comes off the back of their play the balls.
Oh, well done, MG. Right, we're going to change things up a little bit. This one's a bit different. To Bronco Town, heading to Brisbane. Rank the Broncos forward pack. I want you to rank these five players in order. I want you to power rank them.
Okay.
Haas, Fifita, Offa-Hengawi, Pangai Jr. and Lodge.
I've got Haas, number one. He is just... a freak of nature. Fifita probably closely followed, who just knocked back $1.2 million to go to South Sydney, which would have made him the richest forward at 20 in the NRL. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Then I'd probably go Lodge. Lodge's injury is a concern. That's why I've got them, you know, as low as I have on the ladder. I rate him that much as a forward that I think he's the heartbeat of that forward pack. While the Houses and the Fifitas do what they do, you need one of your bookends to be head down, ass up, and that's Matt Lodge. Then I'd probably go Pengai Jr., who on his day can be anything. He had a pretty quiet year last year by his lofty standards, and I expect him to bounce back this year, and then maybe off an Ngawi, but it's very hard. That 1-5 could, that 1-5 would make any side in the NRL easily, and that would make the 1-5 would make nearly any rep side easily. So
that's not a slide on off Ngawi, but no. At 5 in that grouping.
No, it's not. It's definitely not. He's probably the one who will come off the bench in that team.
Well, he played Origin last year.
Yeah, you know, it's wow. Yeah, what a forward pack. Is it an embarrassment? Have they got an embarrassment of riches, but in their forward pack? Is it kind of like, you know, we've got that. Well, you know, that's definitely what's going to happen for us. We know that we're going to go forward. So, have they got the 1-7 to finish off the job? That's the big question mark over the Bronx.
MG, time to start it off with the Roosters, the reigning premiers, the back to backers. Can Kyle Flanagan fill the hole left with Cooper Cronk's departure?
Oh, no way, not yet. No, not yet. That'd be unfair on the kid to say that he could, and that's putting undue pressure on a young bloke who is just trying to find his way in first grade in the NRL. So, I watched the World Club Challenge the other night. I liked what I saw. He's going to be a perfect Trent Robinson player. He's actually a prototype of what Cooper Cronk was, you know, 7 or 8 years ago with the Melbourne Storm. That player who developed into one of the game's best players and best organisers and plays with ticker. I don't think Flanagan's scared of anyone, and that's really good to know as a forward, especially when your halfback's got enormous ticker in a game that he's not going to take a backward step. He showed that against the English team, St Helens, the other night. And look, he missed three goals, which is not good for his confidence, but he's a really good goal kicker on his day. He'll be their number one goal kicker. And I think that, you know, give him time, give him a couple of years. You know, I think it's very unfair to compare him to Cooper Cronk at this stage.
Mm. All right. And not that anyone cares about my opinion, MG, but I just
go
think
for it.
That Kyle Flanagan, don't worry about Kyle Flanagan filling Cooper Cronk's position. This season sets up so delightfully for Luke Keary.
Oh, yeah.
I think I tipped him for the Daly M. Mm. I think he gets back into that Origin side. I just think it's all Luke Keary in 2020.
Well, it is. He's Maloney's gone, and Keary's, it's his spot to lose.
Mm. Let's head to North Queensland. Are the Cowboys the most underrated team this season?
Probably yes. I'd say so. I was toing and froing with these guys in my ladder predictions, and look, I thought about putting them in the eight, and I thought, have they got the forwards for it? And Taumalolo seems a one man wrecking ball machine in that side, and I know they've recruited beautifully with Val Holmes coming back and Esan Masters in the centres, and but they're all a year older. You know, the likes of Gavin Cooper. Cohen Hess needs a breakout year again. I mean, he had a breakout year a couple of years ago when he made Origin.
Josh Maguire's another year older.
Josh Maguire. You know, it's look, I underrated probably. They're going to go very close to making the eight with Drinkwater. They've got a good spine. The young guy from St. George who's up there whose name escapes me at the moment, but I know Robson, I think his name is Robson, he's gone to the Cowboys. You've got Robson, Morgan, Drinkwater and Val Holmes as your spine. That competes with anybody in the competition. What I've seen from Drinkwater in the nines and what I saw from him last year at the back for the Cowboys, I have lofty expectations for this kid.
So you reckon it sounds like you think they're probably almost properly rated.
I think they are. Yeah, I think I don't think they're underrated because I think people rate them.
Mm. All right, that is the North Queensland Cowboys. Let's move down the coast. I need to take a big breath before this one, because this one matters to me.
This one's close to your heart.
What do the Titans need to achieve in 2020 to change Jai Arrow's mind and get him to do a Daly Cherry Evans style backflip and stick around?
Well, that's the irony of all this. He's got 12. Mal Meninga, who's a very impressive man. And when Mao talks, you listen. Mao's got 12 months to massage this type of situation and maybe push it in the right direction of the Titans. But the Titans have got to be competitive. The Titans have got to really get close to making the eight for Mao Meninga to have any bargaining chips and say, look, this is what we're doing. If they come last or second last, well, see you later. Jai Arrow's gone. Then, as I said last year when this was being mooted, if Jai Arrow leaves, the Titans close the gates on the joint because he is the Titans. They've got to really do something special in the next 12 months in the wake of him leaving the club. I can only see if the Titans rally and they do perform beautifully this year and play as a team with plenty of ticker, well, there is hope for Titans fans that he might stick around. But he's got to have some help. He needs help. It's not one up for a Jai because he's more of a Cam Murray type player who's just busy and gets in your face. And he's not that type of electrifying man who's going to score three tries a game type thing. So, I'd love him to say at the Titans. I can't see it happening, but if it happens, I would love to see it.
All right. Would you say if they won more than they lost, would that be enough?
I don't think so. I think, well, if they win more than they lose, well, that's going to put him close to the eight, isn't it?
And do you think so? They make finals.
I think he'd have a second thoughts. Yeah, I think he'd go, well, man, this place is, you know, Wayne Bennett's leaving. I know he's already come to the terms with the fact that Demetrio is going to be coach, and when he was doing his negotiations, that was part of it. But I think it's going to take a Herculean effort from Mal Meninga to keep him.
All right, to your neck of the woods. Where can the Panthers' best 17, absolute the best 17 that they can roll out every week, if that team stays fit, plays every game, where can that best 17 get them to in 2020?
The top eight easily. The top eight easily. They've got the New South Wales halfback who I think is going to have a really, really big year. I watch him a lot. And I have watched him for a long time. Well, I've known him for, I've been watching him since Harry Matthews out at Penrith, and he seems to play better when he owns the team that he's playing for. And with Penrith in the last couple of years, well, the last few seasons with James Maloney, he hasn't had total ownership. Same as at Origin, he hasn't had total ownership of the team. That's been his sidekick, and rightly so, I suppose, the more senior. But sometimes the young guy's got to be, as I mentioned earlier, given the keys of the car. Well, he's with the Newcastle Knights. He's got to take them keys, snatch them off Dad, and say, "Mate, I'm going for a drive. I'm going for a drive, and
not a joyride. I don't know when
I don't know when I'll be back, but you can trust me. A lot hinges on him. They've got a forward pack that can hold any four pack in the competition. They've got some outside backs. Brett Naden's one to watch. This young Burton coming through is one to watch. Jerome Luai is one to watch. Caelum Aikens at fullback, if Dylan Edwards is injured. On the wing, they've got Brian To'o, Josh Mansour, James Fisher-Harris, who got their man of the year last year. So, look, yeah, top eight easily if they avoid the dreaded injury spoon.
Just quickly on
is
that.
Is there such a thing as an injury spoon? No, the medical room.
Let's say there is. Hey, just quickly on that, number six, is that for you? Is it Jerome Luai? We spoke to Trent Barrett the other day, and he thought Matt Burton would be making a strong case.
Yeah, I think Matt Burton. I think Matt Burton's a bigger body. He's a left-foot kicker. He's got sublime. What is it with left-footers? They always seem to kick the ball beautifully.
Yeah, there's got to be something. That's in all sports.
Yeah, it's all sports. Yeah. Left-footers just look, they just strike the ball a lot better. Look, Jerome Luai is a tough little bugger. He's a tough bugger. I think he'll be a perfect 14. I think he'll come on and fill a lot of holes, you know, dummy half. And Tyrone Mays, back in 4 weeks. He's the guy who, man, I think he'll be the 5'8 when he comes back.
Do you reckon Nathan Cleary ever stole Dad's car?
No way. Maybe his scooter. his moped.
With what he's getting paid and his dad's getting paid, they shouldn't need to borrow each other's cars.
No, that's right.
Okay, Melbourne Storm. Is the Melbourne Storm, this is a controversial one. In fact, I'm going to preface the question. Cameron Smith might be playing his last season in the comp. We don't know. Mm-hmm. Vunivalu, we know, is heading to rugby at the end of this year. Josh Adokara said that he wants to move to Sydney at the end of this year, and the club has said they'll accommodate that. With those things in mind, is the Melbourne Storm a sinking ship?
Not even close. No, not even close to it. If you mentioned all them players, and I take that on board, but that's Craig Bellamy who counts. If Craig Bellamy left, well then, get the lifeboats out.
Well, there's talks he might be. There's been reports that he's discussing with the possible 17th NRL team, second team in Brisbane.
Yeah, I think there's always talks about stuff. I know he's a Brisbane boy. He's basically got most of his family up there, but I don't know. I they've still got Munster and Jerome Hughes and Pappenhausen and the two big front rowers in Bromwich and Nelson and. They've got an unbelievable forward pack. They just keep rolling players out. They seem to have that
Brandon Smith.
Jerome Hughes, I mentioned him as well. So yeah, look, it's not even close. The day you write off Melbourne Storm, do so at your own peril.
Love it. Definitive. Next one, we're going to go across the Dutch. Is Roger Tuivasa-Sheck wasting the best years of his career at the Warriors?
Probably, but thank God he is. Thank God he is, because he is the Warriors, isn't he? He's a one-man wrecking machine, and he continues to break records in meters gained and break tackle meters. And he's the captain, courageous. His game went to a next level over in New Zealand once he was given the captaincy. We see more of him, and that's probably a bad thing for the Warriors. You want to see your fullback probably less and less involved in doing them hard hit ups that he seldom takes. Often takes because he is captain. And yeah, look, I would say that he is probably wasting his best years, because at any other club you have him at fullback and in say the Raiders or a Panthers or some other club that's on the peripheral. Not the Raiders, they're on the peripheral, but the Sharks, yeah, with the Sharkies or someone like that. He would be, well, you'd almost put them in the top four and vying for a premiership with a classy, consistent team in front of him.
Mm. Well, because he's 26 years of age, and let's and when we say wasting the best years of his career, we acknowledge it. He won the Dally M in 2018.
That's right. He's a phenomenal player.
His individual brilliance isn't being questioned, but it's more the team success. You know, he left the Roosters to join the Warriors when he was, what, 23 or 22,
yeah,
and everyone was declaring this kid is, you know, one of the stars of the future, which he is. But is he sacrificing team success by being at the Warriors, is more what we're asking.
Oh, I think he's sacrificing his own success to be part of something that he wants to build. And I say bravo to him. Very often we see players going from weak clubs to strong clubs just to try and chase that elusive premiership. Well, I think Roger Tuivasa-Sheck thinks deep down inside his veins that the Warriors one day will vie for a premiership and he'll be captain of them.
All right. Parramatta have made Bankwest Stadium their own in the space of 12 months. They've made it a fortress. You declared, MG, really early on that they are a two-try better side that stadium. How do the West Tigers turn Bankwest into their home as well?
By changing the name to Parramatta, maybe. No. Well, that's a hard one. It really is. I know that over the years we've seen clubs who haven't had home grounds. Parramatta actually spring to mind when they had to play out of Belmore for a while when Parramatta Stadium was being built after Cumberland was burnt down. Look, you see teams playing out of ANZ Stadium which haven't really got a home ground, and Parramatta have made that their home ground. It's almost impossible for the Tigers to make that their home ground, I would imagine, because as soon as I think of the Tigers, I think of Leichhardt Oval or Arana Park. You know, I think they've got to really concentrate on making, obviously, Bankwest Stadium something that they can, you know, look up and say, well, we're playing at the best ground, the best suburban ground, almost, well, you could call it a suburban ground in the world almost. Mm. But that won't get us wins. We've got to win when we're playing in front of our faithful. And most of the faithful are out west at Campbelltown. And when they go to Leichhardt, I don't think there's a better sight in rugby league than a Sunday afternoon seeing the house full sign put up at Leichhardt Oval when we've got people on top of roofs watching it. So to answer your question, it's almost impossible to turn Bankwest into their home, but they've got to try and make it compatible with the Eels in some way, shape, or form. And how they do that, it's almost the $64,000 question.
Can I make a suggestion? Because I've thought about this. Why can't they have a conversation with stadium management so that when they do play home games there, you put temporary stadium signage up, and which declares, you know, one stand is the Benny Elias stand and one stand is the Tommy Radonica stand, so that at least you're not seeing Parramatta names at West Tigers games.
Well, that's the big reason, isn't it? That's why they'll never feel at home there, because that'll never happen. That'll never happen. They'll never see them names you mentioned on the Mick Cronin or the Peter Sterling or the Ray Price stands. That's Parramatta's home ground, and they're cohabiting at the moment, the Tigers, and that's why it's probably an untenable situation for them.
It's like when you're living in a share house.
That is.
It's like when you're the newest person into a share house and
you get the smallest room.
You get the smallest room.
You got to do the dishes.
And you're not going to get your deposit back when you move out.
Going to pick up the barker's nest.
All right, MG, we have rattled through these burning questions. We've got one to go. It's a big one. Is the Sharks premiership window closed?
I think so. I think, you know, look, they won the comp in 2016. So with a completely different team and coach than they've got at the moment. So you'd have to say probably yes for the foreseeable future, for the maybe 1, 2, or 3 years, until these young guys who are the Sherrys and look, there's always speculation about Sherry wants out, and I hope that's not true. You know, Fifita and Woodsy are getting older. Young Brayley is a bright spark. I like him out of dummy half. He's the one to watch this year for the Sharkies. They lost Flanagan. Sean Johnson needs to really up the ante. I know young Will Kennedy's been given the spot at the moment at fullback. Matty Moylan needs to be on the field. If the Sharks are to be any chance at all in premiership glory this year, Matty Moylan's got to be on the field. A bit like Wade Graham when he came back on the field last year and had an instant input by that combination with him and Sherry on the left side was magnetising. So at the moment, I think it is. Yeah, I think their premiership window might be closed for a couple of years.
All right, and jammed open by Matt Moylan toe.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I think he holds the key. I think along with Sean Johnson, if he can produce some sparkling form that we know he can, well, who knows? They've got some young, good forwards, and I think they'll be thereabouts, but you never discount the Sharkies, do you?
There you go. 16 burning questions answered beautifully by that man, Mark Guy. Hope you've enjoyed it. Hope we didn't make you too sad about your team if you didn't like MG's answer. We can't wait for round one. Make sure you keep listening to the Rush Hour with MG on Triple M. Download the Triple M app. Subscribe to the Rush Hour with MG Catch Up podcast. It's where all this extra stuff goes.
Bring it on.